And welcome to another episode of GT Radio, Conversations with Tino. And tonight I have a great guy who's got some pretty incredible stories about his tribe, Nick Pierre, GM, Northern Quest Resort and Casino. How are you, Nick?
Pretty good. Thank you.
So we were chatting, you know, usually we have about 10 minutes before the show where I chat with my guests. And I just wanted to, and I just heard that Nick got, you got voted into tribal council, right? After 9 years of absence?
Yeah. That started June.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And when you were 22, you were the youngest person, and now you're the youngest person. And so we were talking about that, and give us a little bit of insight on what that experience is like for you of being on the tribal council, number one, and what influence you have. And then the second thing, what is your message to younger people out there about getting involved?
So I would, you know, I'll give you the cliche answer because it's true, you know, it's totally humbling. It's a great honor to actually want to even be considered, you know, when you have tribal members coming up to you saying, hey, you should, why don't you run? Why don't you, it's a great feeling to have. And then just to be able to, affect change for the tribe is just an awesome feeling. And that's something, you know, to the younger generation, because when I got on at 22, it was, I didn't have like ambition or anything. I didn't think much of myself or anything. And I had, Phil Haugen, who's, our COO, and my boss, and he was my boss at the time in a different role. And I had another, tribal elder, Shirley Black Bear, pushing me to try to run for council. And they kept bugging me and kept bugging me. And finally I was like, fine, I'll do it just to shut you guys up. And when it happened, it was like, wow. But the younger generation, you know, if you believe what you can do can change the betterment of the tribe, go for it. You know, go make that change. Change is good for the tribe. So, you know, as long as it helps the whole tribe, go for it.
Now, I know that we've talked a couple of times where you have to have been pushed into things. What do you think that the people around you see in you?
Honestly,
that makes them want to support you?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, even looking at myself, you know, I don't know. I think I'm calm and collected. It's something I learned from my dad. You know, he passed away a little over a year ago, but one thing I've really learned from him is it is what it is. Don't get upset. Just deal with it. I don't know if that's what people see in me or what, because I look at it, it's like, man, why do people think that of me? It's baffling to me, but I guess maybe that's what they see.
Hello, are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, we just got the line just dropped. Go ahead, repeat what you said.
Oh,
it's fine.
Oh, I was just saying, I don't know what it is people see. You know, it's just I don't know if it's what I've learned from my dad that, you know, kind of my mentality is it is what it is. So there's no point in getting upset. You just deal with whatever it is and move on from it. Don't get upset. I don't know if that's what people see in me that make them want me on council or what, but that'd be my guess.
Yeah. You're blessed to have those great people around you. You really are. Now, why do you think that there's a little bit of a lack of the younger generation wanting to get involved, especially in tribal politics? I've noticed that. You think that they just feel it's too hard, or?
Good question. Just my experience, you know, when you're young, you just think, you know, other people know more, and they should be the ones deciding it. Well, you always need multiple opinions to make a sound decision. So to me, it's important that you have elders on there, you have young people, you have middle-aged people. It brings a balance, really.
Yeah, it gives different vision on different things, right?
Yeah.
You were born in 79. Tell us a little bit about Calistoga and the community and how it was before the casinos were there. Tell us a little bit about your tribe and your nation.
So, you know, my parents, they married right out of high school. They started a family. So this was what, 72 when they moved into town, because there were no jobs out on the reservation. So my dad moved them into town to get a job in town to provide for the family. So, you know, we all, I'm the youngest boy. I have a little sister. She was born in 81. So we grew up in town our whole life. I think I'm the only child left that still lives in town. The rest live out either on the reservation or right next to it. So growing up, you know, we'd go out there with my dad to visit. I'd go stay with my Uncle Randy. You know, I took a lot of things, and living in town, I just took things for granted. Look at, you know, when you wanted water, you want to go have a drink of water, you just go up to the kitchen sink and get your water. Well, on our reservation, it was high in iron. You couldn't drink it. So, you know, I remember being little and thinking, why can't I drink that? And, you know, every night that I'd stay with them, we'd drive up the mountain, we'd go up to the creek and get, they'd have empty milk jugs, fill those up, and that's what they used for water the next day. You know, and that didn't actually get fixed until it was the first time I was on council, so 2002-2003. The proceeds from the casino helped change that.
Yeah, it was, that was all before the casino was built. Now, you know that the you know that the tribe itself was really strong, because your land is one of the poorest counties, right?
Yeah, Pontiac County is one of the poorest counties.
It was,
of
yeah.
The state of Washington.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a floodplain. Is that that's right? Right.
Yep. We're situated in between the river and the hillside, so majority of the reservation is under a floodplain.
Yeah, so it made it even harder for natural resources or to really do anything.
Yeah, you know, we always joke we have some of the finest clay around.
Now you're using that orange color, right, in your branding too.
Yeah,
from the water, right?
Yeah, the water did have an orange tint to it. So if you look at our Q on Northern Quest, the Q is orange. There's other hints throughout our property where orange is, you'll see orange throughout the property, and that reminds us of where we were.
Yeah, it's definitely. And you had said something to me when we spoke that it's pretty cool. You said that, you know, before the casino was open, we still are closely in the community, but we were really close before the casino opened, because there was those hardships that everybody had to endure together, right?
Yeah. You know, Shirley and my dad and my uncle, they tell me stories about, especially Shirley tells a story, like on Christmas and Christmas Eve, they'd start at one house would start it. They'd go to the next house with some food. They'd sing songs there, and it just went down the reservation like that.
Wow.
And that really wasn't
that's pretty amazing.
That was just 50s, 60s.
Yeah, not that long ago at all. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing and what your parents and your past upbringing has taught you that stuck. Tell me some of those qualities.
I would say so, like you said, we grew up in town. I went to grew up here in Spokane, Washington. I went to Rogers High School, which is one of the poorest high schools in the city. My dad worked hard. He worked graveyard shift at Eastern State Hospital for 20 some years. And he never he my dad never called in. He was always at work. So that is the biggest thing I learned was, when we were younger, my mom stayed home and took care of us, and then as we got into school and all that, she went back to work. But seeing my dad constantly, never calling in, going to work all the time, that I just learned that's what you do, you go to work. And that's helped get me to where I am today. You look at me, I have no college education. Proud graduate of Rogers High School. I did that in 97. School was tough for me, so back then I didn't feel like I had an option of going to college or anything like that. So I was looking at what I could do for my tribe. So we were getting a casino, so I thought, I'm gonna go get experience over at another casino. So I started at Coeur d'Alene Casino. I was
Coeur
a
d'Alene,
bingo
yeah.
beverage server. Yeah, I was a bingo beverage server there. Did that for a few months. Transferred to the change department. Did that for a few months, and then I transferred to surveillance and did that for close to 2 years. When Northern Quest opened up, I quit Coeur d'Alene. I went and I got hired as a tribal gaming agent. I did that for a few years, became supervisor, did that for a few years, then I became executive director. And then 2015, May of 2015 is when I became assistant GM, and I was that for 6 months and then became GM. And I got there just because I never, I didn't. Only time I ever called in was if I was truly sick, and my well, I always went above and beyond, and I got to where I am from that, and I was fortunate because I have a great mentor in Phil Haugen. He's really pushed me into. He was one of the ones that pushed me into running for council. He's pushed me into everything that I've gotten in my professional career.
Yeah, mentors are important, aren't they?
Yeah.
You gotta have them. What are the qualities that you've put into practice in your life that have gotten you to where you are now?
Just showing up and going above and beyond. I think that's really, and just asking questions, and learning from the biggest thing that I've taken is, experience is a huge, huge benefit to everyone. So for the ones that are starting out and all that, rely on those people, rely on your mentors and people that have been there longer than you, and because they can all teach you something. It's the kind of the learn one, teach one philosophy, Learn from someone while you're teaching someone else.
Yeah, it's just you pay it forward, right?
Yeah.
You're a very humble guy. I know we've spoken a lot about, humbleness and everything. Would you say that that quality in you has gotten you partially to where you are?
Yeah, and maybe when I was younger, I wasn't as humble as I should have been, and I made mistakes and didn't really own up to them. But It's just learning from your mistakes and constantly learning.
When you became a GM, what were some of the things that surprised you? I know you made that transition, and there was some things that surprised you, because it's a big responsibility. How long have you been in the position now?
I think it's been 3.5 years, maybe 4 years, somewhere around there. And
wow.
The biggest thing that surprised me is, and everyone laughs at me when I say this, but you know, it's true. I'm not really a people person, but yet, you know, I used to be able to walk through a casino in 10 minutes. I could get from one point to the other. And when I became assistant GM and GM, it wasn't like that. It would take me 40 minutes to get from one point to the next because everyone wanted to talk to me, and just people wanting to, other team members wanting to talk to me. It was a big, and it still is a big adjustment for me to learn how to do that. And I've gotten a lot better, and I've found that those are the best moments of the day for me, is when getting to know the other team members that I work with and all that. So
that was one of the hardest things for you to do, right? Just because you said you're not
really
a people person,
hardest,
right?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just more comfortable within myself and everything, but you know, I'm working on that, and it's gotten better. Like I do, there are times I want to hide back in my shell and all that, and other times where I enjoy talking to everyone.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But you had also a mentor called Mr. Becker, right? And he did.
Yeah.
He helped you
so
with
Mr.
some stuff.
Becker. Funny story. And he's a consultant that we use at the casino now. He was, when we first opened, I believe his title was director of hospitality. So he was over food and beverage and that stuff. But you know, when I first started, one of our first days, my boss at the time wanted us to wear a tie. I didn't know how to tie a tie or anything. So went and bought one. I ran into my sister April at work. I thought she would know. She didn't. So she took me to Mr. Becker, and Mr. Becker actually tied my tie for me that day. And he even talks about when I first started, he'd always try to talk to me, and I'd have my head down and just walking through the hall. I wouldn't talk. And now I enjoy the days that Mr. Becker is at work, so I sit with him for a couple hours and pick his brain, and you know, it's great.
Yeah, and Phil also helped you, right? About the word thing, how to use your words and everything, right? Think stuff in your
Yeah,
head.
That's more and even to this day, I can always hear him in the back of my head when I'm going into a meeting or something. I can always hear him telling me, use your words. You know, you don't want to come in and say it this way. You're going to make all these people mad if you say it that way. If you change some words in that, and you know, no one gets mad. So I've learned to use my words. You know, it sounds like you're talking to a kindergartner or something like that, but so it's funny that I say it, but I've learned to use my words.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool, man. Really, really cool. Yeah, some great mentors there. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit, and also the younger generation, tell us how important they are. And you know, how do you go about finding a mentor? How do you get someone to get involved like you have with your life?
Oh, good question. That's a really tough one too. I don't know. The ones that I've found have just been, what's the word? I mean, it just happened. It's just like a natural connection almost. But I really can't say just how important that mentorship is. Because, and when you think about it, you always think of an older person as a mentor. Well, I have there are team members that I work with that they might be only a few years younger than me or whatever, but even my nephew, I learned, just talking to him daily, I learned things. It's like, yeah, you know, that is a unique way of looking at it. So, it's just not the older generation that you should have as mentors. You know, you need to have, it needs to be that, like I was saying, to get that whole balance of everything, you need younger ones, middle-aged ones, older ones, you know?
Yeah, it creates a different perspective and balance. What are the things that you really like about your job and you like to do?
I would say the biggest thing is, you know, being able to affect change for my tribe. But then the most surprising thing has been, like I was saying, is I do a thing, a monthly meeting I have. It's called Kick It with Nick. And it sounds really dumb, and they've always done it where they've made it rhyme with the GM's name, and they picked Kick It with Nick because I'm a big sneakerhead, so they thought that sounded cool. That was my wife and my assistant that came up with that. But so it's a monthly meal that I have. Team members are selected, and we do a breakfast one, we do a lunch one, we do a dinner one, and it's getting to know the team members. They get to know me. They get to ask questions about anything, you know, whether some of them it's all been all work related, and others have just been getting to know one another. So that's something really cool.
Yeah, you said that on several occasions that's one of the things that you really dig about the job. What are the most important elements of your new job as a GM, and some of the things that you weren't really hands-on before that now you're intimately involved with?
I would say, you know, realizing, yeah, we're a casino, but we're also in the entertainment industry. So, you know, learning the food and beverage, learning. One thing when I was a part of TGA that really interested me was entertainment at the property. Like, how do you know what band to go after, what act to go after? How do you know how much to pay them? Just all that stuff. So those are really cool elements that I've really enjoyed. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, and now you have your eyes on the financials too, right?
Yeah, what, you know, previously it was all regulatory. Now looking at, you know, what changes need to be made, and how, you know, when you're off budget or anything, how can you tweak certain things over here to get you right on the right track, and you know, it's all. I'm 40 now. So I've worked in the casino industry half my life. It's just a great, to me, it's an unbelievable field to work in. It's something new. It's something new every day.
Yeah, it's different than any other job. There's no real routine, right?
Yep.
What is your advice to the younger native generation coming up in the business?
Get involved. Go above and beyond. Don't just sit back and think things are going to be handed to you. Ask those questions. You know, ask why. It's not a dumb question to ask that. You'll get a better understanding, and then that starts the ball rolling. And you know, just the biggest thing I preach to not only our tribal members that come to work at the casino, but all the team members. I try to speak to orientation every week, and that thing is the most important thing is showing up for your job.
Yeah, that's the most important part of it. Of course, you have to stay in there and work hard, right? No question about
Yeah.
that. Now, you know, there's been a lot of proliferation of gaming, and you know, there's some fear coming that the future there might be a bubble. Is there anything that the tribes can do to insulate themselves from a potential something potentially you know, big that might happen that's not not conducive
yeah, you
to
know,
the business, the revenue dropping or
they need to just always be looking at everything, whether that's expansion, looking at different fields, you know, whether it's movie theaters or different restaurants, gas stations, but, you know, making sure you're doing all your homework before you're making any decisions. That's the key to it. You don't want to not do your homework and then find out a year later that, man, that was the dumbest thing we could have did, but we did it. But if we would have did our homework, we wouldn't have done it. So it is,
yeah,
I always
yeah.
Have a eye for expansion.
Yeah, and you had said something about never forget where you came from.
Yeah. Back
I mean, your dad didn't have
water.
Running water. Yeah, your dad didn't
yeah.
have running water until he was 12, right?
Yeah. So they, you know, when they, so he was born in the early 50s. They didn't get indoor plumbing until he was 12. So, you know, I try to tell my boys live a completely different lifestyle than my dad. And it's like, you guys need to know where you guys come from. You don't want to take things for granted or anything like that. You know, because gaming could go away, and then where would we be?
Yeah, where would you go exactly? Yeah, where would you be? What do you see in your future, in your opinion, in the next 20, 30 years in terms of Native Nations? What do you see?
Please. 20, 30 years, huh? That's tough. Personally, in my future, you know, I want a lot of grandkids. But professionally, I mean, that's tough. I'd have to think a lot more about that.
Yeah, that's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big question. Should we take some calls?
Sure.
Great stuff, by the way.
Thank
amazing,
you.
Amazing
this has
amazing
really
insight.
Been fun.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's good to know about the tribes and everything. So hang on one sec. Let me see here. Okay. Okay, I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty again. This has happened to me a couple of times, so I have to click out. Technology, it's not perfect. Yeah, it's not letting me bring anybody online, so it always makes me log in. I have no idea why. I've done over 100 shows, and this is just one of those things in life, you know. Okay, let's try this again.
Yeah.
Sorry about this. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Nick?
Certainly do. Tino, this is Heidi Antezana.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Nick, I'm phoning from Temecula, Southern California. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
So I am very curious to know, as you were speaking, you mentioned a couple of things, and one of them was that it's all about learning from your mistakes and, you know, what lessons you got out of it. So I'm curious to know, what do you think has been one of the biggest mistakes you've made in your career, and what lesson have you learned from it? So if you just
I would
think
say,
back. even right back from your Bingo Beverage Manager days through to surveillance, when you were a tribal gaming liaison. Does anything come up top of mind for you?
Not top of mind. Overall, I would say my biggest mistake in the past was not believing in myself. I didn't have ambition or confidence in myself. So it took a while for me to get it. And even when I started getting confidence, it was always in my back that I wasn't good enough. So my biggest mistake would be not believing in myself. And I've learned, I've learned, you know, you make mistakes, and I've told my bosses, I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to learn from it and not make that same mistake twice.
And it's about failing forward, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when you say you had very little confidence in yourself, or you believed very little in yourself, what do you think, or you believed you weren't good enough, what gave you the confidence? How did you start gaining that confidence? Because I love hearing what you're saying, because that's what I teach in my programs about how to increase impact and influence in leaders and confidence. So I'm curious to know, what for you was what built your confidence?
I would say, and it's funny, I was actually talking to Phil earlier and said, I owe a lot of where I'm at to you. And it's getting that push from someone that you look up to. If it wasn't for Phil Haugen or Shirley Black Bear, I wouldn't have done anything. I would have been fine where I was at. I went from making like $9 an hour to making $18 an hour when I switched over to work for the Kalispell Tribal Gaming Agency, and I was happy. But then, for some reason, Phil and Shirley saw something in me, and they started pushing me, and that gave me some confidence. And then I would say, you know. And I dealt with this even within the last 4 years. I thought, you know, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I questioned why me, and I would say,
yes,
you know, with the team that I've built up, you know, I have two great executives under me, Mike Miller and Kevin Zinicek, and I think, you know, hearing from them and them talking to me, and even that, where they're coming to me, and these. Meg's one of the smartest people I know. Kevin's another smart person. Them asking me, hey, how would you do this or that? I mean, that's really given me confidence, too.
And it's really our self-talk. Are you your best cheerleader or your worst critic, isn't it?
Yeah. And more, what happens more often than not is you're your biggest critic, and you never really see that in yourself. So it's learning that and then moving on from that.
And then, Tina, can I ask another question?
Absolutely, Haiti, of course.
And by the way, Nick, I always say in my programs that it's about being limitless. So, no, not limiting yourself less, because I believe we are the biggest obstacles towards our success. And you put that so well too. But another thing that you have repeated a couple of times during this conversation that you've been having with Tina is that you just need to show up for your job. You know, you've said, you know, what he's asked you, what advice do you give people? And you said they need to just show up for your job. So I know that you mean that in many more ways than just arriving at work. So can you just go a little bit more into what for you looks like a team member that has showed up at the casino? What does that look like for you, especially at Northern Quest?
So, you know, obviously it's coming and doing your job, but then So we have a thing we provide Kalispell hospitality, and that's you know, finding a path to yes, making people feel special. It's just, you know, having that smile on your face, being happy, you know, providing that Kalispell hospitality. You know, everyone's going to deal with customers that are having bad days, but, you know, it's really finding that path to yes.
And leaving your own crap at home. And sorry for my language.
Yeah.
You know, no, you're PG rated. No, you can't be PG rated. It's gaming. So, no, you can't be.
Good point.
So, I can say crap. There's been other ladies on this program that have said worse words. Kalispell hospitality, you say that, and you mentioned showing up and above and beyond. Do you have one or two examples you can give us of how some of your team members give that service that's just above and beyond? Have you got any example that jumps up at you of someone in your team that have just gone?
Here's one we've used at a few of our team member forums. And it happened before I was GM, but – one of our shuttle drivers was going to the airport to pick someone up, and they made the first loop and they noticed this guy standing there, and they made two other loops. So on the fourth loop, they said, "Hey, are you so-and-so?" And they're like, "No, I'm like, you know, well, where are you going?" They said, "I'm staying at the Davenport, which is in downtown Spokane." And for some reason, the person that he was picking up had canceled or something like that. So the team member was like, "Hey, jump in. I'll take you down there." And I was like, "You sure?" But he made that connection. He made that person feel special. And, you know, it's just going above
that.
And beyond.
I just hope that person went to your casino and gambled there too.
Yeah, later on, yeah, you know, that should have evolved into a connection with them. We've done others where buffet cook, for example, they were working in a buffet doing stuff, and they noticed this mom and dad with this child, and the child just wouldn't pick anything to eat. And so the cook went up there, "Hey, you know, so-and-so, I noticed your son seems not to be liking anything that we have here." And it turns out the child was autistic and would only eat certain things, and we didn't have them. So what that cook was like, "Okay, tell me what he likes." They told him what he liked. He went in the back and made him a plate and brought it out to him. It's just that.
Cool.
Those connections.
Nick, thank you so much. And I can hear that you come alive when you're talking about the experiences that happen in your casino as opposed to you talking just about you. So you can see the passion that you have. So well done for that. And I hope you enjoyed the book. I've sent you a book. And you have my favorite name. It's my child and my boy's name and my husband's name. So good on you,
too.
That's cool.
great. Both names.
Thank you, Tino, so much. Have a good evening.
No problem. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Nick? Or a few questions?
Hey, Nick. Nick, Tino, this is Jess Martinelli. Thanks for having me on, and it's really been a pleasure listening so far. You've had quite a story and quite the rise. It's very something to live up to as a young person in the casino industry. So I'm calling from Las Vegas, and I was curious how much involvement and planning you guys are part of. Or if the conversations have started yet and where they're at in terms of the planned Seattle hockey team. Coming from Las Vegas, I've only been out here for 3.5 years. I'm originally from Michigan, and I was here when the Vegas Golden Knights became the team, and I watched what an impact it had on the city, people who never thought they'd be hockey fans, and really, truly, what an impact it had on our industry and my personal role at my casino. So just curious what kind of talks you guys have been getting into in terms of the new hockey team over there.
So we're on the other side of the state, so we haven't had any type of involvement on that. I can say I know, you know, Seattle is looking for another team to support, you know, especially after losing the Sonics and fighting to get them back. I do believe the Seattle community is going to really welcome that new team with the open arms, and it'll be a big thing for the city. But we have not had any involvement at all in it.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, as far as, like, even, you know, talking about, like, viewing parties, something like that, or some kind of promotion, I know it's, like, a pretty far drive, but over there, but nothing like that in terms of the hockey team?
No, not, you know, we're more involved with, like, Gonzaga Athletics. Got to be a big,
sure.
In Spokane, you got to be a big Zags supporter.
Well,
and,
yeah, and you guys are pretty good, too, so that makes it easy.
Yeah, yeah, we love
every
them.
Every year, it seems.
Yeah, I think, what did I read? We've made 5 consecutive Sweet 16s, which is the highest active streak right now, I believe.
Wow. Wow, that's impressive. That's awesome.
We do, we have a sports bar. I can't even remember how big. It's a huge TV screen that we have up in there.
Okay.
It's ginormous. The games will be played on in there. You know, we do big things during the Seahawks. It's actually a 30-foot screen. Like I said, ginormous. It's unbelievable. But you know, we'll of course have that type of stuff in there. But yeah.
Nice. Well, I also wanted to let you know, a couple months ago, we had the, I worked the D Las Vegas, and we had the pleasure of hosting some of your marketing team, Lee, Ryan.
Oh,
and
Lee.
Jessica.
Yep. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, they came out and checked out the property for a little bit, and they were a great team. We were talking about doing some kind of, you know, or we weren't talking about doing a partnership. We were just telling them kind of what we do in terms of partnerships with other casinos, and they were just a great group, and we'd love to come check out Northern Quest pretty soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. They those guys are unbelievable. They, you know, we're fortunate to have them part of our team.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks, guys, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Great questions. Really great questions. We've got quite a few people here.
Hello?
Hello, this is Tino Magnata. Do you have a question for Nick Pierre?
Hello?
Can you hear us? Hello, how are you?
Tino, can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah, we can hear you. How's it going, man?
Sorry about that. This is Bobby.
That's okay.
In Las Vegas.
Cool.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Enjoying listening to you. I was kind of curious.
Thank you.
With you had a great rise to the position that you're in now, and I guess in your position now, a lot of it's all about the bottom line, and I was kind of curious if you had a way that you really enjoyed spending money. You felt confident and liked doing it in ways that were more painful to write checks. So what do you like the most about your budget process and paying your vendors and necessities? And what do you find the least favorite part of that?
Tough question. I would say, when I look at
it looks like entertainment's really important to your property. And you mentioned trying to figure out the right bands to bring in and at the right budgets and that type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know how many years ago our summer concert took off, and that was just we had an open area. Phil Haugen was the one that was like, hey, let's try this out. We just had small local acts in there. So it started off really small. We added to it each year. This was it three years ago when I got on, we added a bigger stage. The next year we added large TV screens for the entertainment area, and then last year we took a really big step because we had, I think it was about 4,000 seats, and they're all on the floor. So if you were in the back, I mean, it was bad. If you were in the back, it wasn't a very good spot. This last year we added risers and all that, so we went up to about 2,000 to 2,500 seats on the floor, and then the rest up on a risers. When I look at bottom line, when we look at the bottom line, we base that off of guest experience. So we try to focus on making the guests have a memorable experience. So whether it's entertainment acts, last year we did one thing that I pushed out there is having a Christmas experience, and another tribal member, Tina Ninema, she was running with that stuff with the Christmas experience, and she found this unbelievable, it looked like a lit up Christmas ornament that you walk under, and just a beautiful thing. I mean, I don't do it justice by explaining it, but that's another thing, just driving that experience, making people remember their time at Northern Quest. That's the best part. The worst part, I guess, is it's just paying out bills. One thing I believe this last year, and this was another thing that really made me happy, is we started up, the Kalispell Tribe started up their own utilities department. So previously when I'd have to sign the bills and all that, we'd be, there'd be large light bills and that stuff I'd be paying off. Well, then I remember the first time I just got a big smile on my face when I'm writing this huge check to Kalispell Utilities. so that was really cool.
Yeah, that's a way better way to write the check, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love just having money recircle. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah.
Thanks,
thank
Bobby.
You.
Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Nick Pierre?
Hey, Nick. Hey, Tino. How are you?
Good, right. Good. How about yourself?
Good, good. This is Michael from Catalyst Marketing.
Oh, cool. Michael, how are you?
Hey. Good, good. Just picking up my dog from daycare, so if you hear some stuff in the background.
Oh, good. That's okay.
So Charlie, my dog, actually had a question. No, I'm just kidding. So Nick, what do you think, or have you had any projects or anything that you've come across in the world, your most recent world that you're really proud of, anything that you've accomplished over the last year or so? that you really think kind of made a mark on the property?
Yeah, like I was just talking about the entertainment venue, don't bringing in those risers, we were able to up our game and just the acts that we got. In my personal opinion, we just had it last night. The best concert we've ever had at Northern Quest was Judas Priest. And we'd actually been working on them for 3 years, but we've if you look at our summer lineup, it has continuously gotten better and better each year. This year, last year we were, I believe, at 13 summer concerts last year. This year we jumped up to 19. We would have had 20, but one canceled on us. They got they took a movie deal, so they wouldn't be able to fulfill our date. But the summer concerts has been what I've one of the ones. The next one that and it really hasn't not a big investment, but one thing that I've pushed this past year has been bringing a tribal identity to our property. So we've been collecting tribal photos from tribal members. We've been getting some. Shirley Black Bear has been, she's donated a lot of them to us. So we'll take the photo, take it down. If it needs touched up, we get it touched up. And then we've been putting them on metal prints and putting them around the property. So, you know, now you're seeing that more of a tribal stamp. We're getting tribal history too when you're looking at these pictures. And some of them, my Tupia, which would be great grandma. And this is one of the favorite ones I've heard from tribal members. She's sitting, and she always rolled her own cigarettes, but she's sitting down on the ground smoking one of her rolled cigarettes. And we actually put that right outside of our cigar lounge. So, I mean, just that's probably been the if I had to pick one thing, that would be the tribal photos on property. You know, we're still trying to get more so we can get more around property, but that would be the coolest thing that I've enjoyed doing.
That's great, bringing the history inside the building. Tito remembers this when I was at Flamingo, a little different type of history, but at the Flamingo we had these great pictures of, you know, the casino in the 50s and 60s. All around the hallways and the back offices that, you know, you kind of remember where you came from. The tribal ties are completely different spirit of that, but it's great to hear. If I could ask one more, and I know you mentioned a couple of names a few times, you know, that possibly maybe that fills this role, but who do you think has been your greatest mentor, and what's one or two things that you've really been able to take away from them and apply that to your position now?
I would say my biggest one, and like I said, I owe a lot to him, is Phil Haugen. You know, I've learned great things and I learned bad things from him. And some things, if I would have listened to him, I wouldn't have got married, you know, and that those type of things. A big thing I've taken from him, you know, is what I said, you know, he's the learn one, teach one. He's learned from Mr. Becker. He's taught me. So it's, you know, I'm learning from him. I'm trying to teach, like I was saying, Meg Miller, one of the smartest people I know, teaching her, teaching Kevin. It's just, I've said it a couple times, but I just can't say enough about that mentorship.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah,
thank you. You guys you guys had a great night.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Nick, great interview. I really appreciate you coming on. You definitely have a lot of passion for your people, and it comes out when you talk about it. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, it's been really great.
Cool. Thank you. This has been really fun, you know. A couple years back, I would have never have thought of doing this, but this has been a lot of fun, so thanks for having me.
Thank you, and have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, good. Nick's soft-spoken, but he's got a lot to say, and his tribe went through a lot of hardship, but they came out on top. Next, June 27th, I have Laura Stensgaard. And Laura's Amazing Women, we're going to continue our series of Wonder Women of Gaming. And it's going to be fantastic. She's great. So June 27th, Laura Stensgaard, and it's going to be fantastic. You all have a good night. And remember, everyone has a story to tell. But if you don't listen, all you have to do is listen. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.